Welcome back to the second hour of A Voice of a People here live with Linda Sims on WGH Talk. How you doing today? Hopefully you all are doing well. Today is February the 9th of 2023, and there remains 327 days left in the year. So we got plenty of time to get some things done that we want to get done. And seems like we're going to have an early spring. You think the groundhog was wrong?
I'm hoping.
It's nice and warm today.
Nice to have some warm weather here.
Yeah. It's like it's raining, you know, and we was just talking about tornadoes the last hour.
Yeah.
Oh, my, you know. So, hey, today my guest is Jeff Porter along with his friend Chris Olson. We're glad that they could be here with us today. There's a few more things I need to say before I turn my attention to them. We also stream live on the web, www.wgh1071.com, or you can download a free app called TuneIn on any electronic device and search WWGH, or call in during a live broadcast like now, like today. If you have any questions or if you would like to make any comments, by calling 740-383-9944. Let me share with you those who faithfully support A Voice of a People, starting with Chappie's Hydraulic Hose Specialist, LLC, of 1325 North Main Street in Marion, Ohio. Phone there is 740-382-8552. We have Logos Christian Ministries, Pastor Jackie Peterson of 582 Lee Street, Marion, Ohio. Phone there is 740-223-1515 or www.logoschristianministries.com. Ongoing announcement, no free produce until April the 15th of 2023. No free produce until April the 15th of 2023. Last but not least, Cheryl Lee, she is the coordinator of Child's Evangelism Fellowship, known as the Good News Clubs, that are located in every Marion Elementary City School and County Schools, and also in Union County. They will be having a luncheon and silent auction March the 4th at Cornerstone Alliance Church. Doors open at 10:30 a.m. So let your friends and neighbors know, and hopefully we will see you at the luncheon and silent auction. Thank you for those who faithfully support this show and listen faithfully. Thank you for listening. Hopefully one day you'll feel compelled to call in. We're anticipating calls from the public. If not, thank you for listening. Thank you for your time. And if it's your first time, I pray it is not your last time. Okay, so Jeff Porter and Chris Olson. Jeff being the author of Expressions of the Last Days.
Mm-hmm.
And we've really been talking about the weather.
Yeah.
And we also have covered, like, earthquakes.
Yes.
Which we just recently had an earthquake. So,
An intense earthquake.
Intense earthquake. So, how are you doing, Jeff?
Okay. How are you?
All right. I'm doing fine. How are you, Chris?
I'm doing well. Thank you.
Right. Great, great, great. So, since we have talked about the earthquake and the weather, what is another sign that we could look to, not forward to coming, but look to that's happening right now?
They're just all over the place. Jesus started off talking about wars, or rumors of wars.
Mm-hmm.
And we had that balloon. And we had, of course, Ukraine.
And
yes. The Russians invading a peaceful country like that. And they deserve to lose that war. Very much so. You know, but wars and conflict,
mm-hmm,
and turmoil.
Mm-hmm.
For instance, the mass shootings, public shootings.
Oh, yeah.
I think those are a sign of last day's stuff, because just look back a few years. Oh, my gosh, we never heard of anything like that.
No, we didn't.
When I was a kid, I went, what do you mean?
Right.
Somebody, I mean, it might have happened once in 10 years. Somebody got up in that tower in that college, remember that?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and he was shooting people out of the tower with his rifle. Well, that was so unusual.
Yes.
You know, now it's like people switch channels when it's on. Let's watch something else. You know,
we've heard about it so much.
Yeah,
there was that recent one that we talked about.
The one in California,
earlier. One in Santa Monica Mountains, which is that's a high end area.
Okay.
Yeah, very very wealthy area. It was Santa Monica and San Diego and the mountains there. And
I didn't know that.
In an area that one would have never suspected a mass shooting. Yeah, this is crazy.
How many people were killed?
You know, I don't want to say because I don't want to get it wrong, but it was more than 10.
Okay.
I thought it was like 11 or something like that.
15, yeah. Maybe in the teens.
Santa Monica?
Yeah.
I'll look it up.
I've been in Santa Monica, come to think of it.
Really?
Yeah. Mike and I were wandering around in that area one time. And it is really nice. But you just don't know. You know, you could go in. So there was that one guy that was inside a McDonald's that was shooting people. I remember years ago. And people were at, they captured him, I believe. And this, he said he was eating at McDonald's too much and went crazy.
What?
The McDonald's food made him crazy.
Oh, my.
Is that what he said?
Yeah, that's what he said.
Oh. Blame it on McDonald's.
Yeah, poor McDonald's. Yeah. What I'd like to know is, what is the problem with Walmart? All these shooters running around shooting people at Walmart. Does Walmart have a big sign on it? Or the big Target? I thought they were...
Target's different.
Yeah, Target's a different store.
Hmm.
I mean, why do they keep going to Walmart and shooting people? Because big crowds?
Yes.
Big crowds.
It draws a lot of people.
And not only that, a lot of people meet and greet each other at Walmart.
Do they?
I don't know about up here, but they did in Georgia.
Did they?
Well, yeah.
Yeah. Possibly disgruntled ex-employees.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know how true they are, but yeah, I mean, I've heard stories about Walmart.
Yes.
And how the employees get treated.
Right.
As I said, I don't know how true it is, but I guess it's possible.
We used to go get another job, but now people...
Yeah. I just...
Yeah, and there weren't that many jobs available then as opposed to now.
Right.
That's true. Employer is
that easier now.
The boss gets to be too obnoxious. See you later. I'll go get a different job. You know.
Right. Why not?
I don't go around shooting people because they insulted me.
No, bosses. That means you're not going anywhere. You're losing your freedom, right?
Well, yeah. This is another thing. They don't even think about that. You know, they're going to lose their life most of the time.
True.
And other times they get captured, they lose all their freedom, and they're given a sentence like 150 years in prison with no chance of parole.
So blinded by anger, I suppose they don't even, it looks like they're just seeing red.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they're not looking beyond today. They're thinking, this is what I'm going to do today.
Right now.
Yeah, I'm...
Forget tomorrow.
Right, I'm considered unsuccessful now, so... I'm going to take a bunch of people with me, you know.
Yeah.
Wow.
And, you know, companies have really relaxed. That's the strange thing. You know, back in the day, these companies were strict.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Their rules were strict. Their policies were strict. And you better toe the line.
Right, right.
But nowadays,
McDonald's used to send you home if you had a little bit of...
5 o'clock shadow.
Yeah.
Right.
That happened to me. And I worked there after school for a time, you know. And I was running late that day. I didn't have a chance to go home and...
Shave.
So, I didn't want to be late to work.
Right.
So I just went in.
Right.
And I got threatened with my job.
Oh, my.
Now...
Don't matter.
Not a word would have been said. I could go in there looking like this.
Right.
Yeah.
Or worse.
I saw a guy with a beard that it was at least 12 inches long in Walmart yesterday. I mean, he actually had to comb it and brush it. And I'm thinking, wow, why do you need all that hair? You know?
Well, when you're younger, you think that's cool.
He didn't look that young.
I had friends that worked fast food back then, and they refused to cut their hair. And I'm thinking to myself, well, man, it's only hair. I mean, how bad do you want to? I mean, you need a you live.
My personality.
Right.
You've left home.
Right.
You're paying your own way through life now. You might want to consider that.
Right.
You go over here, they might ask you the same thing.
Well, you know, we live in a time now that anything goes. Whatever you want to do, you can do it, you know.
Yep.
If you want to wear your hair to the ground, you can wear your hair to the ground if you want to, you know.
Well, I was just wondering now, every now and then you'll see kids come out of a school, they're wearing all this different stuff, orange hair.
Pajamas.
I have seen them wearing
house slippers.
That's just exactly what I was going to say.
Mm-hmm.
Or they were wearing a house coat.
Mm-hmm.
And so this one father, he was observing this one time. He's picking up his kid, and then he asked his kids, he said, well, can you just wear anything?
Yeah.
You know it? And his kid said, no, it's got to be just right with this and that, you know.
But you can wear anything as long as it's presentable.
I guess.
Yeah.
As long as you're not indecent.
PJs, house slippers, hair and bonnets.
They would have sent us home as soon as you came in the door.
Oh, my gosh. Mm-hmm.
When I was in school.
We knew better.
They wouldn't let you wear shorts.
Well,
when I was in.
No, me either. And they used to be even more strict than that.
Yeah.
My half-brother, Shannon, I remember one day he was in school in the early 70s. He got sent home for a haircut.
Oh, really?
They sent him, they kicked him out of school one day and said, don't come back until your hair's cut.
Right. I got kicked out because my skirt was above my knee.
Well, yeah.
I got sent home.
They used to do that measuring.
Oh, my gosh. I had to tell my mom, get me some longer skirts and dresses. I'm tired of coming home. Changing clothes. But, you know, that's when the mini skirts and all that came out, you know. But they weren't having that
type of thing. The kids wanted to imitate them.
Hey, nowadays, they don't care. Just long as they can get them into school, I heard. Just long as they can get the population they need to keep the money, to keep the schools running, you know. And that is a concern. Our moral issues have really gone down the tubes.
Down the tubes.
That's another end time sign. Lawlessness.
Drugs.
Yes, drugs.
Mm-hmm. Alcohol.
And that's considered sorcery, drugs are.
Yeah, I believe the Bible looks at it that way. Yeah.
Yeah. It talks about it in Revelation. It calls it sorcery. But when you look up sorcery, it also talks about drugs that people are addicted to. You have to look up that word.
Terrible drugs. Thing to be addicted to something like crack or cocaine or heroin.
Heroin especially. I mean, You know, I've heard it said that, you know, you can kick the habit, you can get it out of your system, out of your body, but you can't get it out of your brain.
Ooh.
Yeah.
It's a nasty drug.
Can't stop feeling it, thinking about it.
Ooh, it's a nasty drug. I don't want anything that's going to take me somewhere I don't want to go and somewhere that I can't get away from. I don't want that. Mm. No, it doesn't even sound appealing to me at all. And I pray that, you know, people who are listening would not even entertain the thought
of
getting into something like that.
It will kill you one way or another.
Right. You're right. And if you can't get out of something, why get in it? Right?
Well, they just think they're so cool because they're
trap.
With their friends and, you know.
Well, I guess a lot of people begin, before the heroin, they begin with pills. I've heard that a lot. They begin with pills, but then pills become too expensive.
Yeah.
And so so I've heard that heroin is cheaper than pills.
Really? I never heard that.
Yeah. So they say, okay. You know, by then they're already hooked, more or less.
Right.
And the doctors and the social workers and everybody, police talking about opiates, how the big pharma actually helping our society turn into a bunch of drug addicts. I mean, there's just no end to this horrible stuff, you know.
Right. You're right. And the Bible says it's going to get worse.
Oh, yeah.
All these signs that we're talking about right now, they will get worse, not better. People say, well, the world's not ending yet. But no, not yet.
But it's getting there.
Yeah, it's getting there, you know. Wow. It's a process, just like anything else in life. It's a process. And thank God, and that's just His mercy.
Mm-hmm.
Because He could snap, click His finger, you know, we could all be gone.
My brother and his wife, I used to talk to them about the last days, and they go, why are you talking about that again? It isn't going to happen. You know, the sky is falling, the sky is falling. That's what they were trying to say. And one day, I was at their house, I sat there watching TV, and they said, you know, I believe you're right about the last days thing. Every day something's happening.
Yes, yes.
Absolutely every day.
Just like you said about the tornadoes. Now it's from January to December, and it used to be the tornado seasons, but you can expect it any time. They just pop up.
Used to be springtime only.
Yeah,
spring going into fall, early fall.
Wow.
There's some mean tornadoes.
Oh, yeah. Yes, they are. They're like bombs.
Yeah.
You know. You
could see where they went. Packed. Nothing can stand up to them.
No.
Yeah. I envy these storm chaser people who can get almost right up on something.
Yeah.
Or get that close to something,
you know.
My instinct has always been go the opposite
way. The other way.
Because that's what they tell you. Don't go toward it. Don't try to outrun it. Go
away from
over
it.
There.
Yeah.
You know. And in fact, I watched a YouTube video not long ago of a waterspout. And these guys took their boat right through it.
Really?
Mm.
Yeah.
So what's a waterspout? Like a hole or something?
No, it's a tornado on the water.
Oh.
Yeah.
And they drove right through it.
Yeah. Of course, they got wet and everybody and thing got saturated, but they made it through.
They're lucky.
And I'm thinking, that's just
crazy. Some
people
are just that daring, right?
They were just lucky.
That takes nerve.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Right.
Sure does.
Or to ride in the eye of a hurricane. People do that in the airplane, right?
Well, those
meteorologists,
research planes.
Yes.
Wow. You see those people that have flying suits now, where they jump off the side of a cliff and fly like a bird.
Yes, I've seen those on TV.
Well, this one guy is a friend of his. I watched a big long thing about that, and his friend got too close to a bridge, and it just sheared his legs off. And by the time they got to him, he was dead.
Oh, my.
You know, bled to death. And they said, okay, you going to quit doing this now? Oh, no, my friend would never want me to do that.
Yeah, but now that he's dead, he may have a different opinion.
Yeah.
Right.
Don't
but
do
he'll
it.
Never know. Right, right. You think common sense would say, you know.
That's just... Some people can't get enough. It's like, you know, it's like bungee jumping.
Right.
That's been around a while, you know.
Yes, it has.
But I'm like...
Still terrifying to me.
Everybody has a different opinion of it, you know.
Right.
People want to go and do that stuff. People have done it for years and survived.
Right.
Fine.
Right.
Well, more power to you.
Mm-mm-mm.
I'm not a thrill seeker.
Mm-mm-mm. Wow.
Well, so, you know, if you enjoy doing that kind of stuff... This is America. Go ahead.
Yeah.
You know, I'm not going to stop you. Yeah. But there's some of that stuff is just insane. You know, like short jumping off a cliff with a parachute. And you see them jumping off of a bridge. And, you know, short jumping is illegal most everywhere. And so as soon as they jump and they open their parachute, the police are after them, usually.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
Wow.
You know, go to jail, pay a fine.
Yeah.
So yesterday we talked about suffering. Why does God allow people to suffer?
Yes.
What is your take on that, Chris?
He has a purpose for that suffering. Now, that's not readily understandable. For the people going through it.
Right.
It's hell. But it produces something. If you stay steadfast, it produces something good. He uses these situations to produce good in our lives.
Okay.
And I think we need to pay attention to that and not just, you know, there's always that you can sidestep it.
Mm-hmm.
The suffering.
Right.
You don't have to suffer. But
most people won't come to the Lord because of that.
They get angry with him.
Yeah, because no one likes to suffer, and that, right, people get frustrated.
Mm-hmm.
They get angry.
Yeah.
But we have to do that. Otherwise, we don't learn stuff when times are good.
Mm-hmm. Oh, no.
We just coast.
Right.
Just go on autopilot. That teaches us. It grows us up.
Mm-hmm.
And,
right.
Yeah, it teaches us what only God knows we need to learn. We can be arrogant about it. I don't know. I have an ego about it, but, you know.
I didn't know that. Really?
Yeah. We're just fooling ourselves when
right.
we do that. You know?
Right. Like we just landed on the planet today, right?
Are right.
You serious?
I had no idea what kind of suffering you might have to go through as a Christian.
Yeah.
I probably never would have got saved, if I knew how much suffering I was going to have to go through in the future.
You may have suffered even if you wasn't one.
Yeah, that's true. A lot of people do.
Yeah, I mean, sickness is anywhere and everywhere. True. It doesn't mean that.
Car accidents, everything.
Yeah.
Yeah, but see, without Christ in your life, you're going to have a different perspective.
That's true.
On all that stuff.
That's true.
Things work together for good.
You're going to write it out. You're going to write it off to something else. Oh, it's fate.
Yeah.
Oh, it's this, that, and the other. You know. But if you got Christ, then you know it's Him at work.
Right. Right.
Yeah.
I always had the feeling like when I had post-traumatic stress, I knew God was going to heal me.
Mm-hmm.
Just didn't know when. It was a long time I had it. A long time. About 25 years.
How do you think that came about?
Post-traumatic stress?
Yeah.
Well, first of all, I got into a big hassle with my mom and dad and took off and ended up living on the streets for about 8 years. And that was the biggest problem. You know, I was also in the Army for a while,
mm-hmm.
3 years, and so it was just too much piled up on my poor mind. You know,
mm-hmm.
And so when I got the job driving the city bus, I knew there was something wrong, but it wasn't very prominent, you know, it wasn't very strong.
Right.
It slowly built up to where I became like a zombie or something, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Anxiety, depression, nightmares, flashbacks. And so it got really, really bad at one time, so I knew God was going to deliver me. So I went to this sign up on this thing in the church where they were going to visit people in rest homes and hospitals, and went with them. And I prayed with people in there, and I could feel their... sometimes you perceive things when you pray for people, you know.
Yes.
And I kept getting those. And when I walked out the front door, I just felt God's presence just building up inside of me. And when I walked out the front door of Marion General,
mm-hmm.
over here, I was healed.
Amen.
After Amen. All those years.
Mm.
And the doctors told you it'd never go away.
Yeah. Now I was at the VA hospital, a VA clinic here in Marion, and they said post-traumatic stress is not curable. You know, I wish they wouldn't tell our guys that. But, and I believed it. I thought, well, I'm going to have it all my life. I might as well just gird up my loins or whatever, you know.
Right.
Get ready. But when I went out the front door of that Marion General there, it was gone. I didn't really realize it entirely until I got to my car.
Right. That's a miracle.
Yeah. I go, it's gone.
Wow.
It is totally gone.
Wow.
You know?
That's powerful there.
I went home and laid on the bed and had peace for the first time in years. I was totally at peace with myself. And like I said, I don't worry about, you know, post-traumatic causes you to worry about the past so much.
Yeah, you did say that, yeah.
Or wait on the emergency to go by. And I don't worry about the past anymore.
Post-traumatic stress, wow.
I think a lot of it is with people who have been in combat. A lot of it's guilt. Just too much guilt build up on you, you know.
Why? Because you had to kill people and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
And that's a lot to put on someone's mind. Because you say go over here and kill.
Yeah, just go over there and start killing people.
If I kill somebody over here, then I'm going to prison, right?
Yeah.
But I'm free to go over there and do it, right?
Yeah. Well, that's the contradiction of the way the world is.
Yes, it is.
Today, you know. We have all these problems, and we have deterioration. You know, our car breaks down, our airplane falls apart in mid-flight. Just because when Adam and Eve fell in the Garden of Eden, the world and the universe went into a state of deterioration. And until Jesus comes back and fixes that, that's the way it's going to be till then.
Mm-hmm.
We just do the best we can to get people saved. You know.
That's the Great Commission.
Yes.
Go out into the hedges and the highways and byways and compel. That means beg people, drag people in.
Whatever you got to do.
Snatch them out of hell's fire.
That's right.
That's what we're supposed to be doing. Wow. And I wanted to talk about a little bit before we get off the air about unanswered prayer. Why does God not answer prayer, Chris?
I think it's because, well, I believe he does answer all prayers, but some he answers no.
Right.
Because he knows what's best for us. Sometimes he has to tell us no, because he knows if he says yes, he allows something, it's going to hurt us. It's going to do us harm, possibly end us.
True.
So he has to be that strict father and say no.
Right. He smacked his hand if you heard that noise.
Yeah.
Smacked his own hand.
Yeah. Yeah. So get
no.
back.
I believe that's why. I don't really believe there's unanswered prayer. It's just it's not always the answer that we want.
Right.
It's not always yes.
That's for sure.
So yeah, because he knows what's best for us, and we should want his will instead of our own.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, and that's hard to do.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is.
Because we want our way.
Yes, we do. Spoiled brats.
Yeah.
Especially in America.
Oh, yes. Especially in America.
People always running around with a sign. I want my rights. I want my rights. Right here it says First Amendment, Second Amendment, Third Amendment.
Right,
you know.
Right.
How's come you broke all the rules? You know, you can't do that. You should be making me happy.
Well, you know, certain inalienable rights is what the Constitution says. We are, you know, supposed to have certain inalienable rights, right?
Mm-hmm. Right, but God says...
What does inalienable mean, though?
Unchangeable?
I don't know. What does inalienable mean?
Inalienable. If I can spell it.
Indiscriminate? God's,
No. Could be. We'll see.
I believe this country came about because of God's guidance. You know, you got countries that have nothing to do with God.
Yeah.
This country, we talk about God. We talk about Christ. We talk about the Bible.
It was our founding fathers founded on Christian principles.
Yeah. And that's why I believe we've gone undefeated. All these years, you know, most countries are afraid of America because, you know, fear they're going to get blown to pieces. They mess with us too much, you know.
That which cannot be given away or taken away.
Okay, there you go. That's perfect.
So when people say, I have my rights, you don't have a right to take away my right.
That's
right. What they're saying.
Yeah.
This is what I want, and you don't have a right to tell me I can't have it. Wow.
Like I say, we are spoiled by that. You know?
Yeah.
You go to a foreign country and commit a crime. I mean, you commit a crime here, you go through the process.
Mm-hmm.
Other countries, you may or may not go through the process.
True.
They might just take you out back and execute you.
Right.
You know? There's nobody to stop.
Without a trial or without due process.
Right. So forget all that, right? Well, remember when all those Christians were over there and they had it on TV where they were on their knees and blindfolded and they were beheaded? Remember that?
Yep.
That was not too long ago. Mm-hmm. And where was that at? The Arab nations, wasn't it? Mm-hmm. I think that was Iran or Iraq, one of them.
Yeah, they kept beheading people.
Yeah. And they were our people, Christians and stuff, you know? Yeah, beheading them. Right by the water, right by the river. I don't know what river it was. But you're right, and once they get you a prisoner, it's hard to get out of there.
Yeah.
You know, no matter how diplomatic we can be, sometimes it's just like that one black athlete, female, was just released.
Oh, yeah.
You know?
Oh, yeah.
That was so great that she got released.
I'm glad she did, too. She was a female, of course, and she should not have been under those kind of constraints. And I kind of fought it, United States, whoever prescription for those drugs that she had, because they said she had, her doctor had administered or given her prescription for this, but they ought to know what it is allowed overseas and what is not allowed. She was in Russia.
You're gonna go to Russia, you better just leave all the I don't care what kind of drugs they are, just leave them in the closet.
Right. Oh my.
You know, they had this program when I was in Germany, whereas you could sign up and you could go visit East Germany, you know. You had to wear a uniform, you had to follow the tour, you know, and all that. Buddy, you better not get caught with any kind of drug when you're going through that tour. You're going to end up in prison for about 15 years.
Wow.
You know, or longer. And I think I'd rather be dead.
I don't know.
Some of those foreign prisons, please. I've heard that they're so much worse than ours.
Mm. I don't even want to be in ours, less alone over there.
No.
Really?
So all you got to do is just follow the rules, make sure that...
Prison is prison.
Yeah.
It can't be easy. It cannot. Because you have people there that don't like you, don't even know you, just got there and already out trying to bring you down. And, you know, people have to help protect you. And I mean, it's crazy.
Yeah, and what's it cost for their protection?
Right, there you go.
Yeah.
A price you're not willing to pay.
Right. Exactly.
So it's best just to obey the law.
Yes, it is. It is. It is. What do you think about Christ? That he became sin on the cross. He was actually the emblem of sin. On that cross that he took for me and for you. What do you think about that?
That's love.
Isn't that love?
Because he didn't have to do that.
Oh, my.
He could have chosen not to do it.
That's right.
But he did it. Out of love. It had to be love. It wasn't an intellectual process.
Right.
It wasn't a, you know, well, if I don't do this, when we get, you know, he didn't have any inner dialogue with himself.
Right.
It's love. He just did it.
You know.
And people don't want to accept his love or accept the fact that he did that for them and that their sins are forgiven. And all they have to do is acknowledge and thank him for what he did. Accept him and what he did.
Some people are stubborn. I said I was stubborn.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Jeff had been talking to me about the Lord for, I don't know, 6 or 7 years.
Yeah. Long you know, time.
And but it, like I said, it took a situation in my life.
Right.
To say, I'm beginning to understand this now a bit more. But yeah. So
that's good.
Well, you know, some love is such a heavy concept that a lot of people just can't fathom it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, love for one another, you know, is one thing, but the kind of love that he demonstrated to us.
Yes.
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 No other, that's a unique, it's unique. No one else has ever done that.
Or can do.
Or can or will ever do.
Mm. So powerful. So
he powerful. Who knew no sin became sin, that we might have the righteousness of God in us.
Mm.
That is the most incredible statement in the Bible.
Yes, it is.
I think. Have the righteousness of God.
Yes.
Because of his death on the cross.
Yes.
Not just forgiven.
Right.
But we are handed a gift of righteousness.
Mm-hmm.
Grace.
Yeah. And that's what the devil hates. They've got the righteousness of God.
Amen.
How dare they?
He tends to get on people's cases as soon as they get saved.
Oh, of course.
To demonstrate course. His hatred.
He's offended by mankind. That.
Who, the devil?
Yeah.
Yes, absolutely.
He's yeah. offended by the word.
Mm-hmm. Are you sure you're saved? Are you sure he forgave you?
Yeah.
All those thoughts come up in your mind.
And you know, almost everybody goes through
yes,
that.
Yes, yes.
And I remember.
Did you or not?
Yeah.
Okay,
oh, yeah.
yeah.
Going out and witnessing to people and handing out tracts and stuff. And some of those people out there are pretty sharp. And they would ask some pretty sharp questions. Mm-hmm. And you'd sit there and go, I don't know. And you go home and think, am I really saved?
Right.
Yeah. You know,
right.
For a while.
Yeah.
But we got to remember, it's not what we do. It's what he did.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah, we're gonna screw up out there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, mistakes, you know.
We don't know at all.
No. Especially in the beginning.
Yes.
Yeah, Satan had me convinced that I'd committed the unpardonable sin. Remember that?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, man, for about a week, my stomach was in knots.
Until you showed up at my house that night.
Yeah. Well,
I didn't know you were going through that.
Well, just before that, I'd read the book of Mark, where Jesus healed someone,
mm-hmm.
and the scribes and Pharisees were standing around muttering, you know, something like, he has a devil.
Right, right.
Yeah, he has a devil.
And that's when Jesus made the statement that he who blasphemes the Holy Spirit shall not be forgiven. And I had said something before I got saved about not believing in the Holy Trinity.
Right.
But I wasn't saved. Why should I?
Right.
I knew.
And that's what it was. And I'm like, well, wait a minute. I didn't say nothing like that.
I knew ahead of time that Satan was going to put that lie on him.
Wow.
He's going to tell him that he's the Antichrist. I've had several people come across my path over the years that said that Satan tried to tell them that they were the Antichrist.
Mm.
And Chris said something about he felt like committing suicide at one time.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I didn't know any other thing to think. You know, I thought a lot of things.
Yeah, yeah.
That could be really distressing. I mean, you know, because Satan breathing down your neck like that. It's not right. easy to get over it.
No, it's not. And the thought that, you know, I can't be saved, that's that's really a bummer.
Yeah.
You know, just like the Holy Spirit. I was like, did I have the Holy Spirit? People said, well, you didn't speak in tongues, so you're not saved. You don't have the Holy Spirit. I'm like, Lord. I went through all that, but you know, I actually felt the fire in my belly. I felt it burn. You know, I felt the Holy Spirit. I'm like, but people were saying, yeah, you didn't speak in tongues, so that means you're not saved. And I'm like, and one woman said, the next time the Lord get a hold of you, you better obey him. And I'm thinking, what are they talking about?
What was she talking about?
I don't know. I don't know. And then some lady said, do not worry about it. When the Lord is ready, he will do it. And that helped me, because I was like, I'm not saved after I had this terrific
experience. Well, see, there are Christians even these days, after all of these years of study and the theologians that we've had, the research that's been done, they still don't know the difference between works and faith. They still don't know.
Yeah, that's another big one. Yeah, it is.
They still don't know. You can't be saved by speaking in tongues.
Right.
You know, it's like saying, well, you know, you can't use this restroom over here. If you got to use it or you won't be saved.
Right.
You got to go to this church over here.
Right. You're right. Works.
That's it. It's like saying, you know, if church attendance won't save you any more than walking into a garage will make you into a car.
There you go.
You know.
There you go. You're right.
The only thing you can do is believe, and that's what Jesus said. I want to tell you about the works that I expect from you.
Yes.
That you believe.
In the one he sent.
That's right.
Right.
Nobody else died on the cross for you.
No, and please don't ask me to die for you.
Yeah. No,
don't
be asking me that.
Hey, I don't want to die for myself, let alone somebody else.
Yeah.
Right? Wow. You're so right. So right. Oh, wow. Christ. Huh.
There's nothing you can do to save yourself.
No.
The only thing you can do is believe. Open up your heart to him.
Wow.
But there's so many people that don't understand that.
And you know what? Works is getting more and more popular.
Yep.
More and more popular. You think that over the years that was out of the question.
Yeah.
And that we have progressed.
Yeah.
But now we have a new generation that's believing. If I just do this, and if I just have to do something, it can't be that all I have to do is believe.
It's like the American
all I have
work
to do
ethic
is trust.
Or something. You know, you have to save yourself, you know.
Yeah, you got to do something.
Yeah.
An idea like that seems too simple to be true. It can't. People put that trip on themselves a lot. I did it, you know.
Yeah.
It can't possibly be that simple.
Right, right.
Because we're used to everything being a struggle and an effort and a, you know, got to work for it, got to earn this, got to earn that, got to be
right.
This.
Well, that started with Adam because he thought, you know, if I eat this apple that my wife is giving me, she's already taking a bite, so we're going to be like God. We're going to know good and evil.
Yeah.
We're going to know the difference.
See how
you know?
We're influenced by women.
That's not fair.
Can't get any. Just can't get him to cut us any slack.
But what if he had not eaten the apple? What if Adam had not eaten that apple? Whatever it was.
I don't know.
Where would we be?
Because Eve ate it, and I would think that would automatically send the universe into a state of deterioration.
But the command was given to who?
Adam.
Adam.
And he was the man,
Adam,
right?
Adam, where are you?
He was the leader, right? And God called him. He didn't say, well, Eve, where are you, Eve?
Right, he called for Adam.
Adam, where are you? What have you done?
Yeah, but she handed the apple to him.
Yeah, he used that as an excuse, but it didn't go over, did it? It didn't go over well, did it? Adam, I'm calling you. What have you done? You know, he was with God first. All that, who knows how long that was?
Yeah.
How long did they live? 400 years or something?
No, Adam lived 930 years.
Oh, gosh. You imagine that? How many trips to the laundromat would that be?
Yeah. How many social security checks?
Oh my.
Oh man.
Oh well, hey. That was a long, and Methuselah lived longest, 969 years.
Who?
Methuselah. Yeah. That's what they were saying. This flood didn't happen until he died when Noah came.
Yeah, because after the flood the lifespan was
shortened.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm thankful for that.
And even shorter.
Yeah, 900 years.
In this world? Oh, thank you.
Well,
but you would only think that way as a Christian. You know?
Possibly.
Yeah, someone else thinking 900 years, yeah, bring it on.
Yeah, yeah. Oh.
Why not? Do you think the earth and the way things are now would even have another 1,000 years to last?
Can't see how it would.
No. It's too much war and stuff.
1,000 years of things getting worse from here?
Yeah.
Well, gentlemen, we are out of time. We'll have to discuss that another day.
That
discussion. Thank you, Jeff. Thank you, Chris, for being here with us.
Thank you
for
very
listening
much.
To A Voice of a People here live with Linda Sims on WGH Talk. Thank you so much for your participation, and thank you for listening. Till next time, be blessed. Thank you.
You're listening to WWGH Radio, LP, Marion, Ohio. Anyway, I'm going to give it now.